He says, go to now that ye say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get grain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. So focus on that. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So he says, we ask ourselves this question, what is our life? Where are we at in our life in Christ? And he said, is it even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away? And sure it is. So he said, for this reason, then we ought to say, if the Lord will. If it's the Lord's will in my life, we shall live and do this or do that. So we're going to continue with that a little bit this morning. The first Sunday that we talked about this, we actually talked about what the Lord's will was for everybody. And God's desire is that all men should come to be saved and then understand that salvation in our life. The second Sunday we talked about what are we supposed to do in our life. And it has to be God's will. So what are we supposed to do in our life according to God's will? And this morning I want to talk a little bit about what are we not supposed to do in our life according to the will of God. So our life in general is based upon we're either a believer or we're a non-believer. It all boils down to that. So in order, we must be a believer in order to build a life in Christ. That's what we're working on. We want to build our life in Christ. And to do this, then there's choices that have to be made. Every day in our life, we're going to have to make choices. These choices define who we are in God. They define our strength. They define how much we trust in God. They define everything that we do, our desire, according to how we live our life. So everything that we do and everything that we do that we shouldn't be doing, this all comes from the choices that we make. But it should come according to the truth of God's Word. Because this is what is going to directly affect our ability to remain humble and remain obedient to God. That the key word here is our obedience to the truth of God's Word. So therefore, our life, we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school class, our life is based upon our relationship. Now, it's not based upon any worldly relationship you might have, but it's based upon your spiritual relationship, your relationship with God. That is what our life is based upon. So, because the Spirit of God dwells within us as believers, it instills within our hearts and in our minds, it gives us an understanding of what the saving grace of Jesus Christ is all about. You know, if you don't understand your salvation, you can't tell nobody else about what salvation is all about. You've got to learn to understand the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So, here's what happens a lot of times in our life. If we'll be truthful and if we'll be honest with ourselves, there's many, many times in our life that we just don't feel like doing the things that God wants us to do. There we got an amen. And that's so what are we going to do about that? How are we going to overcome that in our life? So God, for this reason, God has given us His Word. He's given us promise after promise after promise, commandment after commandment after commandment. And He has given this to us so that we might begin to understand the times that we don't want to follow after Him. And if there's ever a believer who says, I have never had a time in my life like that, they're not telling you the truth. Because we have all had times in our life that are like that. There are times that the Lord wants us to do something and we just say, oh Lord, I just don't feel like doing that today. And we just missed out upon one of the greatest blessings that God ever wanted to give unto us. So these situations and these circumstances in our life overwhelm us. so that we sometimes we just don't follow after what God wants us to do. But we should not allow these things to turn us away from God. They should not turn us away from the presence of God, but we should allow them to do what God intended for them to do, and that is to turn us unto Him and draw us closer unto Him. Because the one thing that I know for sure in my life is that God has never given up on me, and God will never give up on me. And we know that in our life. So in the book of 1 Peter... let me read you a couple of verses over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 6 through 11. Here's what he says. The first thing that we need to do in our life in Christ. The first thing he says is humble yourselves. Humble yourselves how? Humble yourselves. See, we got to put all this together. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that He's the one exalting you in your life. We're all looking for recognition. You know, ever heard the expression? He pats himself on the back really well. But God says, humble yourself under His mighty hand. Let Him exalt us in due time, casting all our care upon Him, because He is the one that cares for us. Okay? And when you go on down through there, then he says, in order to do this, you got to be sober. You got to be vigilant, because he said, the adversary, your adversary, my adversary, the devil, old Satan, is out there like what? A roaring lion looking to see who he may devour, or who, what he might get into your head, what thoughts he might be able to start putting in. It all starts right here. So if you don't have nothing rolling around up there, that gives Satan an opportunity to get in there. If you want something in there, put what in there? Put the Word of God in there so that there is no opportunity for Satan to get in there. It was never, 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 never God's will that we should live our life under the weight and the burdens of the world. God never intended for us to do that as believers. But yet we find ourselves in that position every day. So how are we going to manage that in our life? All these daily problems, all these daily situations and circumstances, where did we go wrong? Okay? We can't blame that on anybody. Well, I had a bad day yesterday and it was Roger's fault. I'm going to blame Roger. Didn't even talk to Roger yesterday, but I know it's his fault. See? So how? What are we going to do about that? Where are we at in our life? It's the choices that I made. It's the things that I allowed. This old sinful nature that I inherited from Adam, and that's no excuse, by the way. I've heard a lot of people use that for an excuse. So I can't help myself. I got that from Adam. There wasn't nothing I could do about it. Oh, yes, there is something you could do about it. Because when you were saved, the Bible says you put that away. You've done away with that. So every time it tries to creep back in, it's my choice whether I let it come in or not. So that's gone. Get rid of that. The self-righteousness, the worldly pride, the choices that we make every day to manage the situations and the circumstances in our life, when we try to do it on our own, it's always going to be a failure in our life. We have to do it under the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of God. God freely gives this stuff. Have anybody ever not accepted something that somebody was going to give you that was free? Sure we have, because every day God tries to give us something free in our life and we don't take it. Now you might not say, oh, I didn't put my hand up and say, Lord, I don't want that. But when you didn't accept it, you told Him you didn't want it. But every day, God tries to give us some. His strength, His mercy, His grace, His love, His hope. All this is a free gift. And He said the only reason, the only way that will keep you from doing it is when you will not admit to your worldly weaknesses and inabilities, meaning you're wanting to keep a hold of those things. That's why you won't take this free gift of knowledge from me, this free gift of understanding from me, this free gift of grace and mercy from me. He said, you have to learn to be wholly and completely committed unto me, unto God. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let's go there for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's what he says, chapter 12, verse 10. Therefore, and this is Paul talking. If you remember, Paul had an affliction, and he said, what? I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Lord, I've prayed. I still got this affliction. And let's use verse 9 first. And here's what he said. He said unto me, here's what God said to Paul. He said, Paul, all of these things that are going on in your life that you're focusing on, all these things that you're wanting to get rid of, he said, the one thing you're not understanding is it's my grace. It's my grace that is sufficient for you. See, we're looking for it, but we're not accepting it. And he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, because he said, it's my strength that is made perfect in weakness, not yours. We can't do anything of our own strength. But he said, most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me. So here's what Paul said. Here's what I learned. I learned to take pleasure. All of those things that Satan has brought against me, all of those things that I have failed miserably to through temptation, all of those things in my life, now I understand, I have brought them on myself, so I'm just going to be happy about it. Okay, but I can only be happy about it in the Lord. He said, I'm going to take pleasure in those infirmities, those reproaches, those necessities, those persecutions, because he said, in distress for Christ's sake, because he said, when I am weak in those things, I am still strong in the Lord. All right, that's where God wants us to be. Now, if you listen to the old self, if you listen to the old nature, you're never going to find any contentment in your life. And if I ask you to raise your hand this morning, and don't do it, how many of you this morning are having trouble finding contentment in your life? I'll raise my hand. We would all be there. Because we all have things that are hindering our relationship with God. So, and reading the Word, see, I read the Bible. I get this all the time. I read and read and read and read and read. I don't get nothing out of it. Just reading the Word of God, you cannot manage those things in your life. You have to apply it. The only way you can apply it is by understanding it. The only understanding you can get is from God. So therefore, when I read a verse in the Bible, I don't understand that verse, so I ask God, Lord, show me something. And you know that let's just take that verse right there, that where God told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for me. If you would read that verse every day, ask God to help you to apply that to your life and give you understanding, you'll get something new out of that every day. Because God will show us through His Word. So if you want to find spiritual satisfaction in our life, in your life, in my life, if we want to have contentment in our life, then we must stop looking to the world. And when I say looking to the world, we must stop looking to find it in our own selfish worldly desires. Because that's what it amounts to, and we must look for it according and to and from the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That is where we're going to find it. If you back up just a little bit in 2 Corinthians to chapter 4, verse 14, here's what he says. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ, now pay attention to this, because if Christ was never resurrected, our salvation would never be complete. On the cross, he paid our sin debt. When he was resurrected, when God resurrected him from the grave, he assured us that sin never has to control our life again. Never. Doesn't have to be in control. And he said, the one that raised him up is the one that raises us up through Christ Jesus. So we have that same victory. We don't act like it sometimes. But we have that same victory in our life. And he said, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, okay, listen, we faint not, but through our outward man perished, the outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And here's what he said it is. So think of the worst thing that has ever happened to you in your life, and he says it was just a light affliction. Anybody with me on that? No. Sure. Now, we don't understand it as a light affliction until later on when we start putting all of our trust and all of our faith and our desire in the Lord. Then we look back upon that and say, and then we say, oh, it wasn't as bad as I made it out to be. Or at least we should say, as I made it out to be. Because God didn't give it to you. He said it is a light affliction, and He said it was just for a moment. Momentary things in our life, temporary things in our life, we think causes us a lot of permanent damage, don't we? I've heard people say, I'll never get over that. How could a believer say, I'll never get over that? But he said, it was momentary. It worketh for us a far more exceedingly great eternal weight of glory, meaning there was some opportunity in it. The reason it took us so long to realize that it was just a light affliction is because we never seen the God-given opportunity that was in it. We've got to learn to see the plan that God has in store for us. So we've got to be willing. There has to be a willing desire. If we don't have a willing desire to every day discover the love, the grace, the mercy of God, so that we can look past all of these things in our life and look to or toward the glory of God. And that's another thing that we do in our life in Christ. When we're looking to overcome something, we're just looking to see how it best fits me. What am I going to gain? How am I going to benefit? And no time did we say, how is this going to glorify God? If the Lord will, everything that God has intended for us has something to do with glorifying Him first and lifting us up second. So if you're doing something in your life and it's not glorifying God, then you got to stop and say, Lord, where have I gone wrong? I'm glorifying myself, but I'm not glorifying you. So He wants us to have patient endurance. He wants us to have joy unspeakable in our life. There's a song about that. There's scripture about that. You go over into 1 Peter 1:8. Here's what he says. Rejoice with joy unspeakable and what? Full of glory. Full of God's glory. You can't rejoice with joy unspeakable if you only have your own glory in your heart. But if we have the glory of God within us, we can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28. This is a really good verse. Come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are heavy laden, and I will what?
Give you rest.
But the only way He's going to give it to you is He said, you've got to put something into it. The choices that we make. So He says, you take My yoke upon you. Alright? You learn of Me, because I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. And then He said, when you do this, you're going to find out that My yoke is easier than the one in the world you've been trying to wear. He said, My yoke is easy and My burden is what?
Light.
And I'm going to tell you, every one of us, when you were a sinner, you definitely had it. But as a believer, you're still going to carry a burden of some kind of sinfulness in your life. This is going to happen until God sees fit to take you out of this world, whether it's a church as a whole or an individual. But this is going to take place in our life. But when we look towards God and His rest is eternal. All right? His rest is eternal. It's free. And all we have to do is choose to accept it in our life. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, here's what you do. That you present. Now pay attention to this. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now think about this, because some of us probably done went astray this morning, because everything that we done, we wasn't presenting ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And He says it's what? This is my reasonable service unto God. So, how many times are we in and out of our service to God? And maybe many times in a 5-minute period. Okay? So, He said, don't be conformed to the world. This is why we're going in and out, in and out. It's kind of like the live feed this morning. Then we get the hang of it. In and out, in and out. Okay? So, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this has to happen. You know, when the worst time that probably Satan, that we allow Satan the opportunity to get in there and get in our mind, is probably when we lay down to go to sleep at night. Because everything is just going round and round and round and round. So He says, don't let that happen. How am I not going to let that happen? He says, by the renewing of your mind. We have to allow the Holy Spirit. So how do we? Okay, then that's the next question. Well, how do I do that? Well, one of the things David said, he said, thy word what? Hath I hid in my heart that I might not sin against me. I mean, I'm studying, I'm meditating, I'm praying, and the Word of God is always active. So if it's active, I use it to push out all the other things. I use that to renew my mind so that we might be able to prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect, what is the perfect will of God. And in order to do this, he said, you have to learn to yield the entirety of your life to me. Everything. All your thoughts, everything that's going on. And this is because, and we can do this because our life now as a believer is a reflection of who? Christ. That's right. It's a reflection of Christ. Now, we don't always show it because whatever it is that we fixate on the most in our life, that's usually what we become. Whatever we're doing every day in our life, that's what people see. So people see things in our life, and I can tell you this by experience, because every day my wife says, I see something and it ain't very... You need to get over it, especially if we're working together out on the farm. I can tell you what, I'm going to the house if you're going to be like that. Right? So, whatever it is that we fixate on is what we become, but we don't always see what we're becoming. So he says we must learn to transform. To be conformed to not to the world, but to God. And we can only do this by the renewing of our mind. We need to get in our life to the place that everything that we do automatically becomes a necessity of the glory of God. But everything that we do in our life isn't always becoming of the necessity of the glory of God. A lot of times it's because of the necessity of the world. In Galatians chapter 5, here's what he says, starting with verse 16. This I say then, so here's what we got to learn. He said, this I say then, walk in the what? Spirit. and you shall not fulfill those old worldly lustful desires of the flesh. And if you don't believe, you can read on down through there when you get time. Before you get to verse 22, those next few verses, he'll give you all kinds of what lustful desires of the flesh. And you just read down through there sometime and say, oh, yeah, that one's me. That one's me. That one's me. Oh, yeah, that one's probably me. See, we need to learn to walk within the realm of the Spirit that God has so freely given unto this. So he said, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. Now there's a controversy going on within your life, and if you don't overcome it, that controversy is going to hinder your relationship with God. So we've got to learn to overcome that, and we can only do it through the Word of God and learning what it means to live in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And we can only put ourselves in this place by choosing to allow God to be in complete control of our life in Christ. Amen. Now, let me give you one more thing. And we've talked about this many times in our life, but what brings us to all these things that we should not be doing? The things that God does not want us to do in our life. What brings us to that place in our life? It's because we yield to worldly fear. It all boils down to that. Things that begin to happen in our life, the first thing Satan does is he begins to bring upon us that emotion of worldly fear. And then the what if start. What if this? What if that? And this all begins to take place. So we got to learn to overcome that. So let's go back in the book of Matthew one more time. The book of Matthew chapter 10 verse 28. And here's what he said. Christ puts this really simple to the disciples in chapter 10, verse 28. And here's what he said. Fear not them which kill the body. So, you know, we fear a lot of things that kill the body. A few years ago, we feared what?
COVID.
Right? But God made a way out, didn't He? Sure He did. But we feared it, and that probably, and we know, because a lot of churches closed, that drove a lot of people out of church, and the churches had to close. Worldly, the emotion of worldly fear. He said, don't fear those things which will kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. If one of us would have died from COVID as a believer, where we would be today? Oh, praise the Lord, I'd be with God. Huh? But we don't see it that way. When something's attacking us, we don't see it that way. But he said, rather fear the one who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. The only fear that we should have in our life is the fear that is in reverence unto God. And God doesn't want you to be afraid of His power. That fear that means reverence, it means that God wants you to always look to Him, always glorify Him, always praise Him, always acknowledge Him, because He's the one that is keeping everything else away from you in your life. Amen. And we don't always let Him do it. How many of you have said, and I'm going to tell you, you have said it, but how many of you have said, Lord, just wait a minute, let me try this on my own and see if I can do it. And you're all saying, I never told God that. Yeah, yeah, every one of us have when we did not trust in Him first. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, when you tell God that, He's going to let you have a go at it. Mm-hmm. How did it work out? Anybody want to? We failed miserably. So, worldly persecution and fear is an adversity in our life, and it's one that we're going to face every day. Every day something's going to happen. When you get up in the morning, you got to go to town. First thing, I hope my car starts. Worldly fear just started. Well, I hope I make it without it breaking down. I hope I make it without a flat tire. I hope I don't get stuck in traffic. Doing a lot of road work here through Salem. Hope I don't get stuck in traffic. Worldly fear. Okay? All of these things begin to compound, and it causes us, now I'm not steadfast in my faith. When I go out in the morning, Lord, my car is going to start. And even if it don't start, we don't blame God for it. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Halfway to town, I have a flat tire. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Not, oh Lord, how am I going to take care of this? Well, you all live in the country. You should have learned to fix a flat tire or change a flat tire. If you didn't, I don't know what to tell you. So, adversity. It will cause us to falter and stumble in our spiritual life. Just the littlest of things. But he says, the Holy Spirit that dwells within you will give you the strength. If we look to... So the next time something like... Ask the Holy Spirit, how are we going to deal with this? And He'll make a way. And it might be walking, but He'll make a way. So how am I going to... So we should not respond to persecution, to trials, to tribulations, to failures, when we fall prey to temptation, we should not respond to that with worldly fear. We should respond to that through the strength of the Holy Spirit. So when this begins to happen in our life, and we respond to it with worldly fear, then the direct result of worldly fear is going to be sin. And sin is displeasing unto God. So Christ said, the one thing that I can tell you to replace that worldly fear with a growing faith is to, back up in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and here's what he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then everything else I'll add unto you. That's right. Quit worrying about it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So, what a promise. And it should be an uplifting promise. It should be an encouraging promise. So when we find ourselves falling prey to all this worry and anxiety and this fretting that we do over all these things in our life, things that causes us to make bad choices in our life because we've let ourselves become deceived. And when we allow ourselves to become deceived, the first thing that arises in our life is doubt. Now, I doubt God can do that. Or I doubt God will do that. And when that happens, then our thoughts of maturity, our spiritual pursuit, it begins to go in the wrong direction. And God needs to get us back. He wants us to be thinking about, He tells you right here, the kingdom of God. The eternal kingdom of God. And we're to do this the whole time that we are patiently... Everybody got patience? We are patiently waiting upon the Lord's return. Why do you think the Bible talks about His return as becoming a thief in the night or unexpected or all these different things? It's because the church is not patiently waiting. And when we don't wait patiently, we find something else to do. And usually the something else that we find to do is we've exchanged our spiritual thinking for natural thinking. We're hunting things in the world. So we must always remember, God is able to do, and I know we know He's able to do all things, but He's able to do more abundantly the things that we've never thought of yet. You might say in your mind, God can do all things, but yet we'll go out here and do something on our own because we didn't believe what we just said. It's because we don't have the understanding. God needs to be the main focus of our life when it comes to building our life in His Son. So we must always remember that if it's the Lord's will... You guys need to memorize this Bible verse. If it's the Lord's will, first of all, we shall live. And I'm not just talking about your physical life, but more importantly is our spiritual life. That we should live and do this or do that, meaning do whatever it is that God would have us to do that'll point others to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, once again for this beautiful day. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to study, to meditate upon Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to always to be able to learn so that we might apply, so that we might go out and let our light shine before others, that they may see the Your good works within each and every one of us. We pray this day, Heavenly Father, that as we go out and we see the beauty of nature, that we see You, Lord, in everything that is going on in our life, and that we'll look to You, Lord, for everything that is going on in our life. Just continue to help us to follow after Your leadership and Your guidance so that we may always be found doing those things that are pleasing unto Thee. Once again, forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
366.
If you're here this morning and have a need or a burden, if you're here and unsaved, we certainly invite you to come and talk to the Lord about that.
Thank you.
Okay, we want everybody to stay for breakfast and fellowship. Gonna have plenty of good food. I don't know who's cooking, but it ain't me, so it'll be good.
That's how we know it's good.
Anybody else have anything this morning? If not, we'll praise the Lord three times. Everybody ready? Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Thank y'all for joining in on the phone.
Thanks. I enjoyed it. You have a good day. Love you.
All right. Have a good day. All right. Bye-bye.